reputations of doctors, lawyers, and business professionals. Learn more at reputation.com.
Reporter and columnist Jeff Shapiro of the Richmond Times-Dispatch joins us now for his Friday morning analysis of Virginia political news. Hello, Jeff.
As Groucho Marx would say, hello, I must be going.
Well, the ongoing soap opera in Washington on the debt, the deficit, taxes, no taxes, etc., featuring two of our Virginia political leaders in prominent roles, is still ongoing. Senator Mark Warner, a member of the Gang of Six, reemerged as a prominent spokesman for that group of bipartisan senators, and, of course, House Majority Leader Eric Cantor on the Republican side is at the thick of it.
This event, or these series of events, have reminded Virginians and actually the nation just how different the players, the Virginia players in this debate are. And I suspect a lot of people beyond the Commonwealth's borders are scratching their heads, wondering how two guys can have such different views of how to solve this this problem that everyone acknowledges must be solved. But clearly, Warner's stock seems to be rising. He is seen, at least as one of the founding partners of the Gang of Six, as a reasonable, cooperative, bipartisan. Cantor, having walked out of the Biden-led talks, having appeared to have undercut the speaker on a grand deal to settle the debt problem, and then as well getting into this hissing match with the president. I think it's safe to say that the gentleman from Henrico is largely viewed as doctrinaire, brittle, and unyielding. And so maybe the argument could be made, at least at this point, Cantor's stock seems to be falling. Now, as far as this Gang of Six plan is concerned, there seems to be some momentum for it. But the rumblings from the House are not entirely encouraging. Cantor's been somewhat muted in his criticism. He's focused on the revenue side of the Gang of Six plan. He thinks it's perhaps a bit too fat there. The senior member of the Virginia delegation, a Republican, Frank Wolf, from Northern Virginia, has written the Speaker and the Minority Leader, Nancy Pelosi, and said, let's put this on the House floor. Let's put it to a vote. And Wolf has gone so far as to say it has a lot of bitter medicine in the Gang of Six plan, but it really could be a first significant step towards solving this problem. So maybe on the House side, particularly among the Republicans or within the leadership, there seems to be some movement.
3 minutes to go. Well, it may be the heat, but Governor McDonnell, on a couple of occasions this week, has acted a little bit irritated with things going on. Earlier in the week, he had a press conference to announce a modest surplus in the state budget at the end of the fiscal year, and was kind of upstaged by word that Moody's is threatening to downgrade Virginia's AAA bond rating, along with a few other states, if, in fact, the federal government defaults. Of course, Virginia is very prone to federal cutbacks with all the federal installations and workers and so forth in the state.
Yes, the governor was upstaged, and as a result, the governor was ticked off. Bob McDonnell fancies himself a prospective national candidate, perhaps number two on the Republican ticket in 2012. And the idea of rolling out a surplus when everyone else is cutting, was supposed to speak to his fiscal bona fides, but also speak to his belief, his capacity to balance a budget without raising taxes. Then all of a sudden, Moody's comes along and says Virginia's AAA, highest possible credit rating, could be cut if the federal government doesn't reach terms on an elevated debt ceiling. Their concern, of course, as you pointed out, is that Virginia is perhaps overly dependent on federal spending. This, of course, had the governor furious, was the word that he was using. And he went off, huffed off, and wrote a nasty letter to the president of the United States saying that something must be done. Well, he suggested it in an interview, the governor that is, that there needed to be a compromise. But he didn't say what might comprise a compromise. And that has Tea Party-type Republican candidates scolding the governor, candidates for the state legislature, scolding the governor for holding open the possibility of a tax increase and somehow stranding Eric Cantor, needlessly stranding Eric Cantor. All of this is basically primary shenanigans, an attempt to get some of the most conservative voters to the polls on August 23rd.
Compromise, sadly, has become a naughty word. Well, we have just under a minute to go, so I want to move on to another McDonald story. At the end of the week, he urged lawmakers to get back to work and finish unfinished business in that open-end special session.
Yes, unfinished business in particular fills some important vacancies in the Virginia judiciary, two of which are on the Virginia Supreme Court. Governor Dash's office letter to Dick Sassler, the majority leader of the Senate, Speaker Bill Howell, who heads the Republican majority in the House of Delegates, and says, look, if you guys aren't prepared to do this, I will. However, of course, the legislature has to adjourn before the governor can actually make these appointments. Now, judicial appointments by McDonald might be perceived as an advantage for the Republicans, since they're all members of the same club. And if there's a Republican takeover of the Virginia Senate next year, or in the elections this year, maybe a better chance to...
Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Mary Louise Kelly, in for Renee Montaigne.